If it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand as we start our worship service this morning. The Lion and the Lamb. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's warring with power and fighting our battles. Aren't we glad for that?
They need to make. Give you an opportunity now. It's good to see you guys. For the most part, you look pretty good. One of these days, we'll be back to normal. Somebody told me normal was a setting on the clothes dryer, that there was no normal. So we're just, we'll be back. Good to have you all with us. We got some folks from St. Joe, Arkansas here. They're famous. Everybody from St. Joe's famous. Did you not know that? That's Terry Adams and his wife, the Adams family. You've heard of those, haven't you? This is a different Adams family. They lived a hill and a holler apart from us. Terry and I rode the same school bus. I'm a little bit older than him, quite a bit. Him and his family lived down on the creek, and we lived out on the ridge, and we're glad to have them with us today. We're glad to have all of you. Those of you that are over in the gym that are with us, we're thankful that you're here. We can't see you, and that's probably best. You reckon? No. All right. We're going to start Sunday school next Sunday, Lord willing. Nothing happens. So you be here at 9 o'clock. You have a class for everybody. We're making sure that we can social distance and do whatever we need to do to make it right. And so come be a part of Sunday school at 9 o'clock next Sunday. It's going to be our kickoff, be our first Sunday in a long time to have full Sunday school. Now, some of the classes have been meeting virtually, some of them in person. One of the adult classes has been meeting for quite some time. They're able to distance, and so that's worked out real good, and we're just thrilled that you're here. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and we'll get into worship. Our Father, we praise you. We thank you for every blessing of life. Lord, I just want to pray for the families that are here today, special needs that each person might have. God, I just pray that you'd visit us today. Lord, we're desperate. We need you so bad. God, help us to reach our hearts out to you. And we just pray for revival for our own hearts and our church, our community. Pray, Lord, for your will to be done. We pray for our government, for our president, our vice president, for our governor, for those that are in charge, our police forces. God, we lift up our country and all the turmoil that is going on. We know, Lord, that there's no surprises as far as you're concerned. You've got everything under control in heaven. And there's nothing taking place here that you don't know about. And Lord, you told us not to fear. We're going to bend our hearts toward not fearing, but trusting in you. You said, trust in you with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge you, and you direct our path. So we're going to lean toward that today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
The Glory Land Way. is real. Amen.
Amen.
There are some
so great a mercy.
precious cornerstone, sure foundation. You are faithful to the end. Our God is faithful. Amen. Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're all to precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful. this morning.
Take charge of the troops right now. We certainly appreciate the help. Anxious for us to start hearing more of those little footsteps as they hit the floor headed back there. We're going to have a baptism service this morning at the end of this service. And Noah is going to be baptized. Greg, will you go get him at that time for us? And Kim, will you take care of the baby? It don't pay anything, but something we've been looking forward to for some time. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, the third chapter. The book of Acts, the third chapter. We're moving right along. We've moved through the first two chapters, and we're continuing to have a Bible study on the book of Acts on Wednesday night, and you're welcome to come to that. We're meeting here in the auditorium, and we're very much able to spread out. And there's also a Wednesday night class for the younger ones. So if you got kids, you can bring them and they can be a part of that. And Roger, your group's still meeting at your house on Wednesday nights? Okay, great. So we're very, very thankful for that. So, Acts 3, let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And we've come to a time of Peter's second sermon now. Man, it just gets more exciting as the church moves in to this new dispensation that you and I are living in right now. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, now I hope that we will not just read over this casually and miss what verse 2 says. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Folks, how is it that we can get over being saved so easy? We don't ever need to get over getting saved. Now, I don't think that everybody goes through this when they get saved. But this guy's situation is fantastic. Salvation is fantastic. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man, you get this? As the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. You may be seated. In chapter 2 and verse 43, fear continued among the people, and many wonders and signs continued to happen, the Bible says. It was a time of revival. It was a time of the moving of the Spirit that it was a great time for the church. I mean, there was just no ho-hum days. It was fantastic. And as I looked through the book of Acts, I began to notice that every time that Peter and John got thrown into prison or got beat up, more people got saved. It just followed that. Every time persecution would break out for the church, people would get saved. You know, I know of what is going on in our nation, and it is tremendous. It is tremendous. I've never lived through anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. I was born after the end of World War II. In my 70 short years, I haven't seen these kind of things take place. But one thing that I am sure of, that God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He says in the book of Matthew, when He gave us the commission to go in all the world and preach the gospel, He said, I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you. So there's nothing that's going to happen to us as Christians that the Lord hasn't promised that He would be with us. The three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fiery furnace, that's a pretty serious deal, wouldn't you think? I mean, I know those folks around there thought it was pretty serious. Matter of fact, the guys that threw them in burned up. But when they went into the fiery furnace, the king stood up and looked into the fire, and he said, did we not throw three men into the fire? Yes, O king, we threw three men into the fire. Then why is it that when I look into the fire, I see three men up walking around in the fire, I see four men, and the form of the fourth man is like that of the Son of God? Here's an old heathen king that is able to see that Jesus is with him. It's been a while since if we have some of the FBI students in here, they could tell us what that event was called. Gwen, you took the class. You should know right off the top of your head. Anyway, when Jesus appeared in the Old Testament, you know He's always been. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's always been. He was there at creation. He's a creator, God. Chapter 3, verses 12 through 26, Peter preaches his second sermon. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Peter and John are put in custody. 5 through 12, Peter preaches to the religious leaders and the rulers and the elders and the scribes and the high priest. Chapter 4, verse 18, Peter and John are commanded not to preach or to teach in the name of Jesus. In chapter 4, verses 23 through verse 31, they pray for boldness. In chapter 4, 33, they get boldness. And with great power, the Bible says that they gave that. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You and I have a job to do, and it's not to put on a show. It's just tell people about Jesus. It's just to live our life as though Jesus was alive and well and He's in charge, and He is saving lives. He is changing lives. He's still healing. He is organizing things around to meet our need. He's in charge. The devil would like to convince us that he's really not in charge. The devil would like to convince us that he's not paying any attention to our prayers. The devil would like to convince us that, well, it's really, this is so bad and it's so terrible and the Christians are under persecution. Well, let us be under persecution. More people will get saved. We ought to be willing to go that direction if it meant that more folks would be saved. I'm telling you, hell's real. Heaven is real. When folks die without Jesus, they're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. This is real stuff. I told Noel this morning when we were talking, this is not TV, it's not a cartoon, this is the real thing. We're living life on the merry-go-round with no way off. Is this you? Look at it. How long had the man been crippled in chapter 3? All of his life. All of his life. I think that, I know this is a real story. I'm not trying to say it's not a real story. It's a real story. But I think that there is some comparison here. I think it compares to lost humanity. The Bible says that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. We are lost without Jesus. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Without him, we have no hope. Verse 2 says, from his mother's womb. How long you been in your situation? No, really. I tell you, I've lived a lot of my life without victory. I've allowed the devil to lie to me in so many cases, so many situations. He's totally in charge. Come a big snow, we lived at Tuckerman at Christmas time, and we were trying to make our way back to civilization, Gilbert, Arkansas. And the girls were little, and we had an old station wagon. And when we left Tuckerman, it wasn't snowing, but just in a little while, by the time we got to Batesville, the ground began to get white, and it began to stick on the highway, and the traffic slowed up real bad. And we were coming through those hills. Maybe I shouldn't even tell this. It's got a strange little twist to it, but we were coming through those hills there before we got to Mountain Home. And in those days, there wasn't a lot of convenience stores and service stations open 24 hours. I was hunting someplace to use the restroom. Boy, just leave that on tape. Everybody has to. And I saw a little pull-off where I thought that I wouldn't get stuck. And I could pull off. There was a car behind me. And dadgum, if that car didn't pull off right behind me. And I waited. And they waited. Finally, I got out of the car and walked back to and it was a woman in the car. And she said, how long are you going to be here? And I said, why? And she said, because I felt safe following you, and I want to follow you. I said, I'm getting ready to leave right now. And we took off. Well, I want to tell you something. She felt safe following me. I was making tracks, and she was following in my tracks. I want to tell you something, folks. She could have slid off the road. But when we follow Jesus, when we stay in His tracks, we're safe. It's okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He had to be carried, the Bible says, by his relatives each day to the temple to beg for his living. You get the futility of his life? You know, really, that's the lost world. They don't realize it. They think this is where all the gusto is. They think that they're on top of the mountain. They're not. Their life, the lost man, the lost woman, their life is a life of futility. They're on a merry-go-round that they cannot get off of by themselves. They need Jesus. This guy needed Jesus. The lame man is a picture of lost humanity, the person without God in their life, without strength. Romans 5:16 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." The lost are lame and they don't know it. So what is God's message to the church? Let's look at Revelation 3, the Laodicean church. Revelation 3. And look at verse 14. You know, it's one thing to have a problem in life. It's another to think that you're one way when you're some other way. Look at verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" See, they thought they were one way and they were some other way. They thought they had it made. We're rich. Really, they was poor. Well, we're paying the electric bill. We're paying the salaries. We're getting all that done. But they were poor. We're clothed. But God said they was naked. They said, "We can see." God said, "You're blind." I want us to look at the attitude of the man that is healed. Now, I'm telling you, folks, I want my attitude changed. I want to have the attitude every day of my life that God has saved my soul. He has cleansed me and made me whole. He took my sin to the cross. My sin, the songwriter said. Oh, the bliss of that glorious state. My sin, not in part, but the whole. He's nailed it to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Woo! I'm telling you, we ought to get excited about our sin being forgiven. The devil sit on our shoulder and say, "You really think that's true?" Yeah, I do. That's true. Eugene Peterson put it this way. Peter said, "I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." He grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and his ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and walked. The man was into the temple with them, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Everybody there saw him walking around and praising God. They recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple's gate, beautiful, rubbing their eyes, astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. The man threw his arms around Peter and John, ecstatic. All the people ran up to where they were at Solomon's porch to see it for themselves. The second sermon that Peter preaches begins with verse 12. "And when Peter saw it, He answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why you marvel at this?" Did you get that? Why are you? Is this strange? Man, I believe it was strange. But Peter said, "Why does this seem so strange? Why you marvel at this? Or why look you earnestly on us as though by our," look at this, "by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk." Now, one thing that we need to recognize about this situation is that when we get in the Gospels and we move back just before the in the Jesus ministry, when he assigned the 70 to go out, he gave them power to heal. And they came back astonished. People are being healed. Well, we think when Peter saw this man lame, it wasn't his first rodeo, was it? He'd been experiencing that. He'd been walking with Jesus. He'd been seeing people healed all the time. This was just an everyday occurrence. So he said, get up and walk. Verse 13. Peter exalts Jesus. That's the job of the church. That's our job. That's our job on the job. That's our job when we... when we clock in Monday morning, that's our job. When we clock out Friday evening, is to glorify God. That's our job down at the service station or at Walmart or at the feed store. It's to bring glory to God. Now, I don't want to hear what I'm getting ready to say, but it's our job in front of folks that are not being nice to us. It's our job in the midst of people that we think might be causing us harm. Did I say that? Am I preaching to Lanny? I'm preaching to Lanny. It is to exalt Jesus no matter what is going on, that we exalt Jesus. Did you know the Bible says that if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us, and if we draw nigh to God, that he'll draw nigh to us? And the devil will try to get us thinking in the wrong direction or doing the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing, but when we begin to exalt Jesus, he can't stay around. He just has trouble staying around when we begin to exalt Jesus. The devil, he can't stand that. So he takes flight. Verse 13, God of our fathers has glorified his son Jesus. He makes it plain that the Messiah they were all waiting for was Jesus. He's come. He's come. He says, verse 14, the Holy One and the Just. Verse 15, the Prince of Life, or the Author of Life, he says. Verse 15, whom God raised from the dead. And he just keeps preaching that over and over and over. God raised him from the dead. He's raised from the dead. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's merry way, or whether it's merry or not. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Is that true for you? Is that true for you? I tell you, it ought to be in every Christian's life. This is what Peter and John was preaching. He's a risen Savior. He's a risen Savior. Verse 15, he said, you killed the Prince of Life. You took the life of the giver of life, and you asked for the taker of life to be released on the world. Sounds like the world we're living in, doesn't it? Good's evil, and evil's good. What's wrong is right, and right's wrong. Well, verse 15, I'll close, verse 19, I'll close with this verse. He said, I got good news for you, boys. Woo! And man, is it good news? Is it ever good news? They said, what do we do? What do we do? And he used two churchy words that we use quite a bit. He said, repent and be converted. The word repent means you change your mind. You make a U-turn in your life. You repent. You change your mind and your thoughts toward Jesus. A conversion, it means that one thing is converted to nothing, to something else. I like to use the word converter in such a way that it changes the power source into a usable, something that is usable. You've got an engine in your car that is powerful. You couldn't hold the end of that crankshaft if you wanted to and it running. You could do all kinds of things to try to change it. But on an automatic transmission, Gene, they put something on the end of that, don't they? They call it a torque converter. The torque of the engine is converted to something that is usable through the transmission. And when we are saved, our life is converted into something that is usable for God. By the way, 2,000 were saved. Peter said, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It's good news. That's good news. That's good news. That men have done wrong, they can be converted. Men and women and boys and girls can be converted. You go get Noah for us, would you? Let's stand together. And I don't want to pass up the opportunity to give you an opportunity to make a decision for Christ if you're here and do not know Him as Savior. We give an invitation, and actually in three ways. We give folks an opportunity. First of all, if you're not a Christian, would you consider today inviting Christ into your heart as Savior? Would you be converted today? Would you come to know Christ as your Savior today? And if so, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And, just head right on. That's good stuff, boy. That's good stuff. I wish you knew the whole story. Would you invite Jesus into your heart, a Savior? Perhaps you're here today and you say, I want to recommit my heart and my life to the Lord. I want to do what He's called me to do, and I haven't been, but I want to from this point forward. I want to give my life wholly and completely to Jesus. And I want to recommit my heart to the Lord today. You're going to be saved one time. Maybe you're hearing God's deal with your heart to become a part of this fellowship. And you can become a part of our church. You can become a member of this church in three different ways. You can be saved and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's how Noah's going to become a member today of the church. You can transfer a letter from another church of like faith and order that you're a member of, or you can come on a statement, and your own statement, that you've been saved and scripturally baptized. And if that's your will, if that's what you want to do, we're going to give you an opportunity. Matt's going to lead us in a verse of a song, and we're going to give you an opportunity right now to make that decision for Christ. So as we sing, you come if the Lord's dealing with your heart.